And welcome to Boopity Boppity Magic Hour. My name is Sarah, and I'm here with my little sister, Abby.
Hey guys, we're huge Disney fanatics and want to share our love of all things Disney with you, our listeners.
We realize that there are already lots of podcasts on how to plan a Disney trip and people's opinions on rides, resorts, and restaurants. But we're here to offer something different by discussing special facts, secrets, and theories that surround Disney entertainment.
You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Stay up to date on our blog posts at www.bippityboppityMagicHour.wordpress.com and download our podcast, now available on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play Music. Before we get into this week's news, we're going to start today's episode with a little joke. Did you hear about the Italian chef that died?
No.
He passed away.
Haha, pasta. That's funny. That's a good one.
Thanks.
Alright, you ready for some news?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm still pulling up my notes. Okay. So we're going to start with some resort news. The first thing is that a new look is coming to the Walt Disney World Swan Lobby Spaces.
Ooh.
It's undergoing a redesign project, which is costing about $3 million. So it's going to transform the resort's lobby, public spaces, and coffee bar. Upon completion, the resort's two main lobbies, all guest rooms, and meeting spaces will all have completely updated appearances.
That's nice.
Yeah, it sounds fancy.
It does sound fancy.
Yes. Okay, next in resort news, Sammy Duval's Water Sports Center is going to be closing. After 20 years of operating water sport activities at Walt Disney World's Contemporary Resort, Sammy Duval's Water Sports Center closed its doors yesterday. Well, it's not yesterday for us. It closed its doors on August 31st. So, I don't honestly know what exactly that was, but if you were a fan of it, we're bummed for you. Okay, so still in resort news, although it's kind of restaurant-y news. This coming winter, Artist Point Restaurant, which is at Disney's Wilderness Lodge, is going to host an all-new character dining experience.
Ooh!
It's going to be called Storybook Dining, and it will immerse guests in an enchanted forest-like setting inspired by Walt Disney's Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Ooh!
During the meal, Snow White, Dopey, and Grumpy will visit with diners, while music and other activities will bring the fairy tale to life. To complete the experience, you'll have the chance to meet up with Snow White's nemesis, the Queen.
Oh no.
I know. Don't get on her bad side.
She's scary.
Yeah, and try not to be prettier than her.
Well, with her hat, I mean, she's not helping herself.
With her hat? Oh, with her, like, head covering thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of weird looking. I wonder what she would do if you, like, if you went up during a meet and greet with her and told her she looked really beautiful.
Like, I don't know.
I wonder what she would say. I'm curious now.
Yes.
Alright, last resort news, and this is for all of the Walt Disney World Resort hotels. So, this is really exciting. There is a new digital key feature available. So, this digital key is a keyless way to open your room door simply by using the My Disney Experience app on your Bluetooth-enabled mobile device.
That's pretty cool.
It is cool. So you don't even need your magic band if you don't want.
Nope.
You just have to have your phone.
Which is really nice in case you accidentally lock your magic band in your room.
That's a good point.
Or if you lost it, which would be a whole other case of badness, but...
I've heard it's actually pretty easy to get a replacement Magic Band if you lose yours on accident. You just might not get the color that you want.
Yeah, but it's stressful. I mean, what if somebody finds it and then starts using it?
Well, once they transfer your account information to a new one, they can disable the first one.
Yeah, but you can charge stuff on your Magic Band.
No, not if it's disabled.
Yeah, but if you don't disable it and before, you know,
yeah, I mean, there's
finds
probably,
it and starts buying stuff with
there's
it.
There's a small window that could happen. Hopefully no one is going around doing that, because
that
if
would
you
ruin
are, you're
the
an
magic.
Awful, you're an awful human being. And shame on you. But I don't think that... I don't know, I could be wrong. But to me, it doesn't seem like that kind of thing would happen very often. I'm not saying it wouldn't ever happen, because I'm sure it has, but... most people in Disney World are just there to have a good time.
Yes.
Alright, let's go to Disney Springs! And talk about stuff there.
Okay.
So, this is actually just a Magic Kingdom, but there's this store called Uptown Jewelers. It's on Main Street, USA, and there is new Loungefly backpacks and accessories available at this shop, paying tribute to the iconic Orange Bird and Dole Whip, but yeah, they've arrived at the Uptown Jewelers. I don't have pictures, I wish I did. But it sounds really cute. Sounds very trendy Disney.
Yeah. I want a Dole Whip.
You want a Dole Whip?
Yeah.
I saw a recipe on Pinterest for one. It looked pretty easy. You just have like frozen pineapples, coconut milk, and I think that was it. I don't even think you add sugar. I'm sure the Disney recipe does, but...
it's tasty.
Yes, it is. Alright, this news item is actually for Disney Springs. The 4R Cantina Barbacoa food truck opened on August 21st at Disney Springs. It's stationed at the marketplace near Basin and World of Disney, and this new offering brings the flavors of Mexican-style barbecue with build-your-own tacos, burritos, nachos, and more. That's interesting. Mexican-style barbecue. I don't know if I've ever heard of that
is
genre
of food. Is it Mexican-style barbecue, or is it barbecue Mexican, like, Tex-Mex fusion?
I have no idea. I guess it could be either.
If it's the latter, then I think they should rename it, because that's very misleading.
Yeah. I don't know. Alright, let's go to Disneyland, California! The Star Wars Galaxy Edge is going to feature a special watering hole called Oga's Cantina.
Ooh.
That's all I got for that one. But... oh, actually, this isn't just for Disneyland, California. It's also for Disney's Hollywood Studios and Walt Disney World.
Woo.
So they'll both have it.
In Star Wars Land.
In Star Wars Galaxy's Edge.
Star Wars Land.
Star Wars Land. Alright. Mobile ordering is expanding to 7 new Disneyland Resort locations. So, I have 3 right here, I think. Yeah, there's 3 available now, but in the next few weeks there's several others. So, the ones available now are Bayside Brews, Harbor Galley, and Tiki Juice Bar. And then the ones that are coming are Edelweiss Snacks, Stage Door Cafe, Refreshment Corner, and Royal Street Veranda.
Ooh.
Yes.
Before you know it, all of them are going to have mobile service.
I have no doubt that it will eventually be that way. I think, are there any in Disney World that don't have it now?
I don't know.
I feel like all of them do, but I don't know for sure. Alright, last Disneyland news is Scary, sweet, and savory treats have been appearing in Disneyland for Halloween time.
What?
Yeah. There's a whole lineup. I didn't copy over what the treats were, but I can look them up real quick. Pause for one moment. Okay. So we got candy corn cotton candy.
That sounds
kind of gross. And there's also a bat cookie.
Better.
Yeah. And then churros galore. So, let's see. There's one near Big Thunder Mountain, which is orange sugar churro with candy corn sauce. There's one near Haunted Mansion, which is pumpkin spice churro with cream cheese frosting. That actually sounds really good. And I don't really like pumpkin spice things, except pumpkin bread. Pumpkin bread's my jam, but that sounds good. I think it's the cream cheese frosting. And then at the Hungry Bear restaurant, there's Churro Bites Cereal Sundae with fruit cereal dusted churros, cereal, milk, anglaise, strawberry ice cream, and raspberry sauce. That sounds like a little much for me, but
I'm not exactly sure what that is.
A whole lot of sugar.
Yep.
At the Golden Horseshoe, they have a churro sundae with cookie butter gelato. That sounds amazing by itself. But it's garnished with a cinnamon sugar dusted churro and topped with cajeta and whipped cream. I don't know what cajeta is. It could be cajeta. I don't know. I'm assuming it's something Mexican, but I don't know. But that sounds good. And then there's churros near Sleeping Beauty Castle and Town Square that are Maleficent churros covered with chocolate cookie crumbles blended with colored sugar. And you can add marshmallow dip with that one. And then the churros near Buzz Lightyear Astro Blasters are sour apple churros.
Ew.
With the option to add caramel sauce.
No, thank you.
Oh, and they're bright green, too.
No, thank you.
Oh my gosh, and there's more churros at Disney California Adventure Park. So at Willy's Churros, there's purple, green, and orange sugar ones, as well as the pumpkin spice churro. At the Redwood Creek Challenge Trail, there's a s'mores churro with graham cracker, chocolate chips, and a marshmallow drizzle. That sounds really good. The Goofy's Sky School has purple sugar churros. And then the Cozy Cone Motel has pumpkin spice churro with cream cheese dipping sauce. If that wasn't enough, there's also candy. And this is at the Disneyland Resort. There is, these are all candied apples, I think. No, they're not. Okay. They're just, like, things on a stick, I think. So there's the Mini Witch apple, the Jack Skellington apple, there's a Skull apple, Evil Queen apple, Jack Skellington's Cake Pop, Bat Cake Pop, Mickey Mouse Mummy Crispy Treat, Oogie Boogie Crispy Treat, Maleficent Crispy Treat, Mummy Marshmallow, and Pumpkin Fudge.
While we're talking about all that stuff, I don't know if we've mentioned this to our listeners, but the voice actor of Oogie Boogie in Nightmare Before Christmas is actually from St. Louis.
Is he from St. Louis?
Yep.
Oh.
He lives in St. Louis.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
But I did know, so we went to a musical. There's this outdoor theater in St. Louis. It's called the Muni, and it's been around for 100 years. This year was its 100th season. And he played the grandfather in Meet Me in St. Louis, which we got to see.
Mm-hmm. He's been in it for the last few years. I've seen him in at least one show for the last 3 years.
Yeah, I haven't, but you've been to a lot more shows than I have. Well, that's not even all of the treats, but if I were to go through the entire list, like, it would take us the rest of this episode. So, I think that was most of the, like, just the generic sweet ones. I don't know, those churros, there's so many options. I didn't know that churros could come in so many different ways.
you didn't do churros like Disney does.
It's true. I've never had a churro in Disney.
I haven't had a lot of foods in Disney.
Yeah, we might need to get a churro this time.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the Disney World park news. The Kringla Bakery Og Cafe is reopening in Epcot's Norway Pavilion. They've been under refurbishment for a few months now, but the Kringla Bakery had reopened on September 2nd. The bakery space has nearly doubled in size, and a new queue has been installed to help control the flow of traffic. People want that school bread.
Yeah.
Something else that we haven't ever tried.
Nope. You know what I miss?
What? Those
beaver tails.
Yes, beaver tails. Alright. This is going to be a really short one. The 2018 Epcot Food and Wine Festival is now on, and it's going until November 12th. So you've got lots of days to go check it out if you're going to be in the area.
Oh, we're going to miss it by just less than a month.
Yeah.
Sad.
Just by a couple weeks. That's okay. We did it last time.
Yeah, but food and wine.
It's so expensive, though. I mean, like, one tasting, I guess, isn't that bad. Like, it's, you know, it runs from, like, $5 to $10. But they're so small, so you have to get multiple ones, and then, you know, it starts adding up quickly. And if you want drinks, those are also $5 to $10, if not more. So, I don't know. It's fun, but expensive. This is really exciting. So, here, we're gonna play a game. A new baby animal was welcomed into Kilimanjaro Safari Savannah. Abby, can you guess what animal it was?
A giraffe?
Yes.
Oh,
how do you know?
I just guessed. It was the first one that popped into my mind.
Well, her name is Ayla.
Aww.
I think that's how you say it. And she's a female Maasai giraffe calf. And she was born on June 29th to the Savannah of the Kilimanjaro Safari Attraction.
Ooh.
Baby giraffes are so cute.
Maybe anything's are so cute.
True. Alright, last park news. Toy Story Land's Early Morning Magic is starting on September 17th. This Early Morning Magic is being expanded to Toy Story Land, hence the title of this little news thing. So this Early Morning Magic offers you exclusive, limited-time access to Toy Story Land, including Slinky Dog Dash, Alien Swirling Saucers, and Toy Story Mania. Plus, character greetings with Woody, Jessie, and Buzz Lightyear. Your Early Morning Magic ticket also includes a continental breakfast buffet. Early Morning Magic will take place on select Mondays and Wednesdays from 7:30 to 8:45 a.m., and the special admission for the event is $79 for adults and $69 for children. Tax not included.
That's not very much of a discount for those kiddos.
No, and I would not. I mean, that you only get an hour and 15 minutes. I would not do that. Sorry, Disney. That's expensive.
Yeah.
That's too expensive. I don't think it would be worth it. But maybe it is. I don't know. Alright, you ready for our episode?
Yes. We're back. And today we're going to talk about
an Epcot pavilion.
And if you're paying attention to our jokes, which always our hints for our episodes, you would have guessed that it's Italy!
Italia! So, funny story. I was going through our past episodes trying to remember which one we did last, and I did remember doing American Adventure last, but when I looked at the map, I was like, wait a second, Italy came before American Adventure, and I don't remember doing that one. So we accidentally skipped Italy, poor Italy, and so we're, you know, we were going in order, but we're having to backtrack a little bit. So, that's why we're doing Italy now.
Woo! Italy.
Close. But
no. Okay.
No. Oh.
How cigar. Do
you no noodle. I don't know.
Cannoli?
No cannoli.
Okay.
Gelato.
All the good food.
All the good food.
Well, as always with our episodes, we're going to start with the history. So the Epcot Italy Pavilion was opened in 1982 when Epcot first opened. This pavilion was created in the style of Venice. Like the Germany Pavilion, there was an attraction in the original plans for the Italy Pavilion, but sadly, the plans were not followed to fruition. The attraction would have been where Via Napoli currently stands.
The original plans for the pavilion called for an expansion that would be built in Epcot's Phase 2 of construction, thus leaving a wall with nothing behind it at the rear of the pavilion. The expansion would have included a super cool gondola dark ride and a Roman ruins walkthrough, which sounds amazing.
Yes, it does. When Phase 2 was canceled, the pavilion was left incomplete. However, a restaurant by the name of Via Napoli, I don't know if it's Napoli or...
I think it's probably Napoli. I'm sure if you're Italian, then you would say Napoli. But.
Yes. Designed by the Florentine architects Stefano Nardini and Raffaella Melucci, opened under the Patina Restaurant Group in 2010 and brought the pavilion its long-awaited completion. It features Florentine architecture and authentic Neapolitan cuisine.
And that is literally the only history we could find. we were shocked that there wasn't any more history on this pavilion. But don't worry, because there's a ton of interesting info on the architecture, merchandise, and what Italy is pretty well known for. It's food!
Food!
Alright, so we're going to get into the layout and architecture first.
The Italy Pavilion features a plaza surrounded by a gathering of buildings that are representative of Venetian, Florentine, and Roman architecture. Venetian architecture is especially represented by a recreation of St. Mark's Campanile.
I don't know.
But it's the bell tower, as well as La Gemma Elegante shop, representing a replica of the Doge's palace. So I've been there, and I know what these places look like, but I obviously can't pronounce them.
The 83-foot bell tower in the World Showcases Italy is actually an authentic replica of the original Campanile, I think that's how you, Campanile? I don't know, in St. Mark's Square. The great attention paid to detail is showcased on the angel atop the bell tower. It is covered with real gold leaf, even though it is up so high that guests can't really appreciate it.
Another spectacular Disney replica of the 14th century pink and white Doge's Palace is very authentic, right down to the marble-like facade similar to that used in the original.
Since it would have been virtually impossible to create an exact duplicate of the marble, the Disney Imagineers created their own. In this case, the marble is actually fiberglass, which is covered brick supports, and they have been painted and specially treated to resemble the real thing.
As you enter St. Mark's Square, you'll pass two massive freestanding columns. At the top of one is St. Theodore, also known as the first patron saint of Venice, a military leader who played an important role in early Venetian history. He's important because he's also the source of the dedication for the Doge Chapel at the Doge's Palace.
On top of the other column is a winged lion, which is the mythical guardian of Venice and the symbol of St. Mark. In Italian culture, it denotes the Lion of St. Mark, a biblically based creature that protects the city.
The pavilion's design is inspired by many other hallmarks of Italian architecture, such as the Ponte della...
I think it's Della.
Della
Paglia.
Paglia. I don't think that's right. I think it's Paglia. I don't know. Yeah, we're butchering this. Otherwise known as, wait. Yeah, we just butchered that. Okay. Also, the Neptune Fountain, which is reminiscent of the Trevi Fountain in Rome, and the Il Bel Cristallo shop, meant to resemble the exterior of the Sistine Chapel.
In the central plaza area of the pavilion, which is called the Plaza del Teatro, you'll find the Fontana di Nettuno, which is the Neptune Fountain. And this was inspired by Gian Lorenzo Bernini's Fountain of Trevi in Rome. Neptune, the god of the sea, boldly stands in the center of the fountain with his trident in hand. If the fountain looks familiar, you may have seen the original fountain featured in Federico Fellini's classic film La Dolce Vita.
It's the sweet life. That's what that means.
Ah.
When you are in the Italy Pavilion, you are fully immersed from all sides. The romance of Venice continues to be demonstrated by the Venetian bridges and gondolas that are moored to a festive, striped barbershop-style poles alongside the World Showcase Lagoon.
One part of the section has a bridge inspired by Ponte della Paglia in Venice. Near this bridge tribute are actual waters. While you can't access this area legally, you should take a look when you're in the area.
The landscaping of Italy will delight gardening buffs with the olive trees, Mediterranean citrus, kumquat trees, cypress, and pines found in the formal garden. I don't think we've ever spent that much time in Italy.
We haven't.
But I
want to... The most time we've spent there was waiting in line to get gelato.
Yeah, I don't ever really remember going inside that pavilion, but I kind of want to now because, well, we haven't been to Disney since before I traveled and, like, went to all these places.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not all of the pavilions, but I went to 4 different cities in Italy, and I was there for a week and a half, and now I want to see the Italy Pavilion.
Well, we should take a look around.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we've always just kind of skipped over it because it's not very deep like some of the other pavilions. Like, for example, the Morocco pavilion, you just, like, keep going back and more stuff keeps, like, popping up.
Mm-hmm.
But Italy and Germany's not very deep either. There's just not as much in them, I guess. But anyways, Abby, guess what time it is now?
Time for food.
Time for food. Well, time to talk about food. So, Italy, well, the Italy Pavilion originally started with L'Originale Alfredo, a very popular restaurant found in Rome that is said to have created Fettuccine Alfredo. It was replaced by Tutto Italia in 2007.
Tutto Italia is an Italian trattoria that features all the standards from lasagna to cannoli. It is a full-service restaurant open for lunch and dinner.
Tutto Italia Ristorante is the restaurant that dominates this area. The restaurant is run by world-famous, yes, more than just Disney World, California chef Joachim Splichal. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Tutto Italia Ristorante is the more popular of the two Italy restaurants and also better regarded. TripAdvisor users have ranked it 118 out of almost 3,000 restaurants in Orlando, not just Disney World, Orlando. The explanation for this adoration is the old world flavor on display.
The restaurant uses wall murals, dark wood booths, and banquettes to make guests feel as if they've stepped out of the theme park and right into Italy.
Located right off the lobby of Tutto Italia is the Tutto Gusto Wine Cellar. Tutto Gusto Wine Cellar is an atmospheric wine cellar serving wines, beers, sandwiches, and small plates, but most importantly, wines.
Wines. This intimate space seats only 96 people and is open from 11:30 a.m. until 9 p.m. Designed to look like an Italian wine cellar, Tutto Gusto features stone walls and floors, rustic wood beams, and brick arches.
It offers an appetizer-type menu with six sections focusing on small plates with foods from all around Italy. Various cheeses, mini panini sandwiches, pastas, and seafood are just some of the choices available, and now I'm hungry.
Guests can select from an extensive drink menu, including more than 200 varieties of Italian wine.
And thirsty.
Connoisseurs are passionate about this place due to the quality of its wine list. I mean, with 200 varieties, there's got to be some good ones on there.
And Disney.
Anyone who loves the grape should spend some time here.
I love the grape.
I like grapes that are fermented.
Via Napoli is an authentic Italian pizzeria and restaurant is designed to be reminiscent of the architecture in Florence, Italy. It features an open kitchen and prep area where the guests can watch their pizzas being made and cooked in one of the massive stone pizza ovens.
The menu is curated, again, by Chef Joachim, yep, the one who made the menu for the other one. And the restaurant was inspired by the dining and architecture trademarks of Naples and Florence, with the house specialty being Neapolitan pizza.
The water used to make pizza dough is imported from Pennsylvania to simulate authentic Neapolitan dough. So apparently the water's really similar to Italian water.
I guess. I don't know. Via Napoli's three wood-burning ovens pay tribute to the three active volcanoes in Italy, which are Etna, Vesuvio, and Stromboli. To do this, each of the three ovens are sculpted in the shape of the face of the god that their corresponding volcano is named after.
Wow, talk about detail.
Heck yeah.
The long communal table in the center of the room was built in Florence and features hand-painted tiles depicting iconic monuments in Italy.
Other notable features, if there weren't enough, of Via Napoli are its high and vaulted ceilings, imported ceramics and blown glass, and the abundance of windows that flood the establishment with natural light.
Italian gelato kiosk. Yes. Serves various flavors of Italian gelato just in front of the pavilion.
Yeah, you can't miss it, which
it's
is smart.
Our favorite place.
We like gelato.
Because it's one of the best desserts in Epcot.
Yeah, and they give you a lot, too.
Yeah, especially if you're cute.
Alright, let's talk about shopping.
Woo!
There are many quaint little shops offering a broad variety of Italian merchandise. You will discover fine Florentine soaps, Illy espresso coffee, and handmade papier-mâché Venetian masks. Creamy Italian chocolates, traditional snacks, and Italian wines are also found here.
In addition to Otherworld Showcase pavilions, these shops have a variety of Italian products. There are some items created especially for Italy Pavilion, including apparel. That's Amore shirt with Mickey and Minnie Mouse is adorable. And drinkware. There was also a recent line of products inspired by Walt Disney's Pinocchio.
The pavilion also has a large selection of cookbooks covering Rome, Tuscany, Naples, and Italian farmhouse cooking.
If beautiful crystal, fine Murano glassware and porcelain figures are your heart's desires, a stop at Il Bel Cristallo is a must. In this store, you will also find San Lorenzo Venetian glass jewelry, Antica Marina jewelry, Policati leather handbags, Ferrari merchandise, and a nice selection of Italian perfumes.
In La Bottega Italiana, guests will find cookware, decorative items, Italian foodstuffs, and apparel.
The wine shop, my place, Enoteca Castello, is located next door and offers an incredible selection of Italian wines and spirits.
The La Gemma Elegante shop, I guess it's La Gemma, I don't know. But anyways, it's adjacent to Il Bel Cristallo and carries dazzling handmade Venetian masks.
Venetian mask artisans from Colloc in Venice, Italy, have also been featured in this pavilion since 2001, performing live painting throughout the day and showcasing their authentic handmade masks.
Did you get a mask when you were in Venice?
No. I got a postcard.
I got a mask.
I saved my dollars for things that I could experience instead of souvenirs.
I mean, that's fair. I really wanted a Venetian mask from Venice. It's really pretty, too. It's black, and it has gold and silver details on it.
It is pretty.
I like it. Oh. So there's one more store in the Italy Pavilion. It's called Delizie Italiane, and it has, I'm pretty sure that means Delicious Italy or something along those lines. And it has Italian chocolates and candies. So very fitting, if that's what it actually means.
I want food now. When I was in Italy, I tried to get gelato every day.
When I was in Italy, we definitely stopped for gelato every single day. There was one girl in our group had gelato like multiple times most days.
Yeah. I was traveling with two guys, and they would have stopped for gelato two times a day. But I was balling on a budget, and I was trying to convince them to only eat out once a day.
Ooh.
They wanted to go out like every meal, and I was just like, no, we're gonna pack some sandwiches. And then I pretty much made most of my dinners for the rest of my trip once I stopped traveling with them. But I mean, if you're gonna spend most of your money on food, you're gonna do it in Italy.
Yes.
Yeah. Or you're gonna spend most of your food money in one place. You're gonna do it in Italy. So I was not upset about that. Okay. Next we have entertainment. Oh, Sergio, a comedic juggler. His show is, for lack of a better word, unique. He juggles soccer balls and entertains the crowd, and you can't miss him from a distance either. His white shirt with red stripes may cause you to think, where's Waldo? Their fashion stylings are that similar.
Despite looking like a cartoon character, Sergio's show is worth 20 minutes of your time. He's mastered the art of juggling, and he even whistles as he does tricks. It's an impressive feat that you should watch at some point.
Spandieratori di San Sepolcro. In early October 2014, the flag wavers of the San Sepolcro began performing in Italy. I feel like I'm saying that like a robot. But it's a really big word, and it's foreign. The tradition, which dates back to the late Middle Ages, is the ancient art of flag waving. The group of flag wavers, drummers, and trumpeters perform several times a day. I don't think we've seen either of those.
Well, the flag wavers just started not even 4 years ago. I mean, it's almost 4 years ago, but so the only other time we would have seen them was in September of 2016, but I mean, we didn't really spend that much time in Italy, so that makes sense. Maybe we'll see them this time.
Maybe.
Alright, so that's kind of it, excuse me, on the layout of the pavilion and its architecture, food, and shopping and entertainment. But we do have some touring tips as well as some interesting facts and secrets. So the first touring tip, which is going to apply to us when we go, is that the Holidays from Around the World, which is kind of the Epcot World Showcase offering, I guess, during Christmas time, features storytellers in each country. In Italy, La Befana makes appearances throughout the day. Well, sorry, throughout the afternoon. La Befana is the good witch who brings gifts to children on the Epiphany, which is January 6th.
Each of the World Showcase countries has a special KidCot area that provides an opportunity for your child to interact with a native of the country you are visiting. Epcot passports are great fun for kids as they have them stamped at each pavilion around the World Showcase. The KidCot station in the Italy Pavilion is located between La Cucina Italiana shop and the Angel.
I think it's La Cucina.
La Cucina.
Yeah. I think if it's one C, it's an S sound. Well, no, because Cucina, I don't know. But if it's two C's, it's the Ch sound.
Oh, okay.
This is a short one. There are no character meet and greets in Italy.
Sad. We need to get some Italian, sorry, yawn. Some Italian movies.
Well, there's Pinocchio, but that's, like, pretty much it.
I mean, and that one's the second oldest, so.
You're the second oldest. Just kidding, you're the third oldest.
I'm the youngest. I'm not the oldest of anything.
You're the third oldest. Abby, you're so old.
Not as old as you.
I'm the second oldest. Nate's the oldest.
Okay, Sheldon. Sergio performs Sunday through Thursday. Be sure to check out your times guide for show times on the day of your visit.
The pressed penny machine, which is something that I will be looking for, is located inside La Bottega Italiana.
The Italy Pavilion and World Showcase is located almost directly across World Showcase Lagoon from Showcase Plaza and features an area which offers amazing views of illuminations, reflections of Earth. Located along the water is a small area of the pavilion which features several bridges and a gently bobbing gondola in the water. Guests who arrive early enough to the location can score a spot right up against these railings there and enjoy a phenomenal view of the show. Sometimes this location is closed off for special occasion parties, though, so beware.
Yeah, you might not have score a backup spot. Yeah.
Have a backup spot.
Really, anywhere in the World Showcase along the fence is a good spot.
Mm-hmm.
Just putting that out there. All right, now we're going to go into interesting facts and secrets. The statues on the Doge's palace are hollow and are held in place by steel rods which run through the base into the statues themselves.
The garden is more like a garden patio. Blue, white, and pink hanging baskets add color to the large buildings and garden walls. Citrus trees such as orange and lemon, along with other Mediterranean trees, dominate the landscape. Flowering plants in authentic containers decorate the plaza.
If you wander around behind the shops where the fountains are, look around for little red press buttons that say, "Press for a surprise." If you press the button, water squirts from a different location. It's always fun to see where the water will come from and then wait for an unsuspecting tourist to walk by.
Oh, that's so mean.
I don't think it squirts people.
I think it does.
Oh.
There are pillars that surround one of the buildings that are decorated with several kings. Each king is holding a crystal, cannonball, and a sword, except one. One of the kings is holding a bowling ball, and of course, the holes are shaped like Mickey. The Imagineers were allowed to put something of themselves in the design, and one was a bowler.
the coat of arms on the Enoteca Castello Banfi store is from the Banfi family, owners of one of the largest wineries in Tuscany.
So what I'm hearing is I need to find a suitably aged Banfi member. And become a trophy wife so I can have all the wine. Yeah.
That would be pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
For my brother-in-law to be a wine owner. I don't know. Vineyard
owner? I don't know. Winery owner?
Winery owner. I like wine.
Me too.
The thing with wine is I love it. And, like,
so yeah, I love it.
Well, I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. So, I like red wine in the fall and winter and spring, let's be real. And then in the summer, like, white wine's my jam. Because it's cold and it's just, like, fruity and refreshing. But anyways, my point is, even though I love drinking wine, I very rarely get it at a restaurant. Because the prices are so marked up. It makes me crazy. Because a lot of times, the price for one glass of wine is, like, maybe just a little bit cheaper than what it would be to buy the bottle.
Yeah.
At a store somewhere. So, I just have a really hard time getting over that.
I was, talking to my boyfriend, who is from England, yesterday about wine, and I was saying I haven't had wine except for maybe one time this summer, and he was like, your family doesn't drink it with dinner? Because his family drinks wine with dinner all the time.
Yeah.
And I just said, nope, sadly we don't.
I mean, he stayed here for 2 weeks.
Yeah. But I think we did have wine more.
We did have wine a lot.
He was there. It was the holidays. But, I mean, yeah. He was also there, so
yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if when he visits in the next couple of weeks, we have more alcohol than normal.
Yeah, maybe. Dad probably will. I've been really good this summer. I have. So, I've been doing this workout program, and technically, like, if I were to follow the meal plan to a T, I shouldn't be having any alcohol. But I didn't want to cut myself off completely. So I've had, like, I think since I've started, there's only been 4 days that I've had alcohol, and I'm really proud of myself.
I'm proud of you too.
Thanks. I used to have a drink, like, and it's not like I would get drunk every night, but I would have one drink when I got home from work.
Oh.
Pretty much every day of the week.
That's impressive, though. I really only have drinks on the weekend, and that's just because I still live at home and mom and dad don't.
That's the end of our episode. It was kind of a short one, but kind of like I said before, well, number one, I just couldn't find any history on it, so that, I mean, that usually takes up a good portion of our Pavilion episodes, so.
We still hope you enjoyed it.
Yes.
And now I think we're gonna go get some wine.
Maybe. I was just talking about how I'm doing so good. Although wine does sound good right now.
Alright, signing off.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode. We hope you enjoyed hearing about the Italy Pavilion.